Good afternoon, everyone. All of you. Thank you, Lieutenant Craig Dunbar. As all of you know, I'm Jeff Hardell, Chief of Police. With me today is Captain Ben Bliven and Lieutenant Todd Baton. Lieutenant Todd Baton was a supervisor the night of the incident. And, of course, Captain Ben Bliven and I have been dealing with all of the media requests and all of the emails from across the nation and all of that ever since. So really the purpose today is simply to discuss the gun incident and then also to reveal a resolution that that we've come up with. And we'll explain, first of all, we want to explain the incident itself, walk you through what the officers, the information the officers had, how they responded, and then how we came to a resolution. First of all, the incident occurred, as you know, April 22nd, 2014, at 9:39 p.m., and a 911 call was placed by a resident. The reporting party was in the neighborhood where the incident took place, and he was outside initially walking his dog. He observed the incident unfold. He was quite terrified and went inside to explain what he saw to his wife, and then they got on the phone, called 911, and then was telling the dispatcher, was relaying to the dispatcher things that they have, that they witnessed then. He was very descriptive in what he saw. He saw two vehicles kind of pin another vehicle on the street. There was initially one individual that got out of the vehicle. The way that this individual approached the middle car, or the car that was white in color, was, as the reporting person stated, he was crawling or creeping or, you know, in a suspicious type fashion. He also had his hand out in front of him. The RP felt that he had a gun with him. Then two other individuals got out of the vehicle. They initially positioned themselves behind what he felt was the car door. The car door opened. They crouched behind the car door and then, again, put their arms out in front as if they were going to shoot. RP clearly felt like there was going to be a gun battle. As he went inside, they called 911. He watched this unfold. He then saw the individuals get back into the vehicle, and then a short time later come back out of the vehicles and again point what he felt was a gun, and then one of the individuals approached the car, the white car, and then had his hand out like this right at the driver's side window. And so the individuals that called truly felt like there was going to, like they were going to witness a shooting. And that's how they called it in. I've spoken with both the RPs, husband and wife. I've spoken to them numerous times. On Friday I spoke with them, and they were, I would say that they were traumatized by this event. They really felt like they were going to witness a homicide. They have children of their own, and they were placing themselves in a situation like that. And they were afraid that the people, the target individuals in the white car, were going to get shot. We again spoke with them this morning. They came in this morning to speak with us, for I wanted them to know what we were going to talk about at the press conference, and to also let them know what we were going to release, what kind of information that we were going to release. The law enforcement response, of course, a report of three individuals with guns, which was reported to be guns, is going to create quite a powerful law enforcement response, and that's what it did. We sent all of our units, and Marathon County Sheriff's Department also asked if they could provide any assistance. So there was a couple Marathon County Sheriff's Department deputies on scene. And the response, what we would refer to as a high-risk stop. It's simply a tactic that law enforcement uses when they feel there are weapons involved, and they go through a process of taking individuals out of the car, all, of course, having their hands up, not making any fertile or subtle movements, making them walk backwards so that we can see, you know, if they have anything in their pockets. And then once they have walked backwards toward the squad, they're handcuffed and secured in place in the squad. All of the individuals were treated in that fashion so that we could secure the scene. Officers' experience. And the reason I just want to mention this is we have had numerous emails and phone calls from individuals that say, hey, this is Wausau. Why are your officers, why do they have their guns out? This doesn't, you know, this is a small town. This isn't going to happen. I can tell you that we deal with weapons calls on a regular basis. This scenario that played out, even though it was Nerf guns and it was a game and was not real, we ultimately found out, that scenario has been played out numerous other times in our communities with drug ripoffs. And I can tell you that we've had home invasions similar to this, where people are breaking into houses with guns drawn and stealing drugs or stealing money. So it's not unusual for an officer to respond to a gun call or a weapons call. And so they... and in fact, I think, Lieutenant Baton, that you would agree that that's probably what the officers thought, was that it was a drug ripoff. And so then they went into that scenario with that mindset, knowing that when we have drug dealers or drug dealers that have weapons, we have to be very careful. Most of them or many of them are on probation. Many of them carry weapons. Many of them don't want to go back to prison, and they'll do anything at all cost to prevent that from happening. Factors involved in decision to site. We considered the neighborhood disruption, which is a common occurrence in law enforcement. We are responsible for holding people in our community accountable. We want to gain compliance. We want to modify behavior. And many times we use enforcement to do that. And that's no different than this situation that the officers were involved in. Because of the mannerisms or the behavior of the players in this, because they were approaching the car in the fashion that they did with their arms out in front, that probably was a factor in the officer's decision. We have a named reporting person, which is different for us. A lot of times we'll have somebody call and say, this is what's going on, but I'm not giving you my name. I want to remain anonymous. Okay, we still have to investigate it, but yet, it makes it not quite as credible if you don't have a name. This time we have a named person who has an address and a phone number that he gives us. Of course, the magnitude of the event and the response, the services that were required for this response were significant. The negative impact of the Nerf gun, just a little history. We have a school resource officer that is assigned at Wausau West. They get feedback and they hear stories, and so they've been dealing with these types of behaviors for quite some time. And the things that our SRO are relaying to us is there's been vehicle accidents that have been involved in this Nerf game. It's senior shootout game. Students been running in the parking lot naked, or they run into a house naked. Students have been, I put kidnapped on there, but students have been working, and another team has gone in and grabbed them and pulled them out of their workplace because you can't get shot when you're at your work environment, but if they get them away from the work environment, they can get shot. Kids hiding in garages or sneaking into houses or hiding around on private property. And so all of these things, all of these rumors and stories have been circulated. And the officer Shrimp sent a letter home to all of the parents at Wausau West stating, hey, this game is, it seems like it's getting out of control. Please talk to your son or daughter about these behaviors because we want them to be safe. I personally believe that the game has reached a level that's unhealthy, and I believe that some of the behaviors that we're seeing, I'm afraid one of the kids is going to get hurt. I mean, we have You know, we have people that carry CCWs, carrying concealed weapon. We have individuals that have guns in their houses. And I'm afraid that if one of these kids is hiding in a garage and a homeowner comes home, you know, they could take deadly force action. And, you know, we want to prevent that. Of course, also, you know, any time an officer responds to a deadly situation like this, or a serious situation, and they have their guns drawn, all it takes is a subtle movement by that person, and the officer, you know, might think that they have a gun, or they're reaching for a gun, or if they're pulling out a cell phone or something like that against the officer's instructions, you know, that's all a really dangerous, serious situation. That didn't happen in this case. I'm just saying that, you know, you've probably read across the nation at various times where an officer has shot someone because they have reached in their pocket or pulled out a phone or some other item, not a gun, and was shot. Review of the incident. I just wanted to let everyone know that night was really busy for the officers. They responded to a number of calls. They had domestics. They had the normal routine calls. This particular incident with the Nerf guns was sandwiched between two difficult suicides. Officers did not complete the reports that evening because they were busy. And then they were on their scheduled off days, Wednesday and Thursday. So the incident happened Tuesday night. They worked from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. They're off on Wednesday and Thursday, and don't come back to work until Friday at 6 p.m. So obviously we were fielding calls and emails, and I'd spoken to a number of parents, and my response was, you know, I understand how you feel. Let us get more information. And I would never make a decision based on half the information. I have to speak with the officers involved. We have to read the reports, and then we have to evaluate. And so that's what I needed to do before I could get back to the parents. And so everyone I spoke to, that's what I relayed. I will look into it, and I'll get back to you. So, then we talked about what is right and what's justified. Because we were able to speak with the officers. Ben and I stayed here Friday night, spoke with the officers starting at 6 p.m., got a better feel of what transpired that night. The officers wrote the reports over the weekend since they worked Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then Ben and I were able to review those reports, review the testimony of the officers, talk to the RP, which we have done numerous times, and then we start talking about, what's right, what's justified. And, you know, does it really require a citation? With that situation, this situation is really unique. It's different than any other situation we've dealt with. And so we talked about, does it require a unique solution or resolution? We just started brainstorming and said, well, how can we, you know, if we have the officer's buy-in, if we have the reporting person's buy-in, if we have buy-in from the students and the kids, is there another option that we can look at? Because, you know, mainly what we want to do is, like I said, modify behavior so that the kids are safe. You might ask, how is this situation different? Well, the kids and the students, they took responsibility. They understood what the officers were saying that night. I know that Todd actually lined them up and talked to them at length about the officers' response and why they did what they did. We received feedback from Lieutenant Baton and the officers that all of the kids were very respectful, very cooperative, understood why the officers responded in that fashion. All the kids have clean records. They're heavily involved in extracurricular activities. In other words, they're really involved. They're engaged in their school. They have a high level of parental involvement, and for me, that was huge. We don't deal with oftentimes we don't deal with parents that have that same level of involvement that we do here, and so I like that. We had other people calling us and giving us character. They were a character witness for these kids. In other words, they were saying, hey, I know this kid. It's out of character. I'm sure if they thought that they were if this was going to cause a disturbance in the neighborhood, they wouldn't have done it, you know. And the kids are leaders, and we felt could influence others in a very positive manner. And so those are those were the things that we thought were different. And so then we wanted to talk to the parents, so we asked them to come in Sunday evening at 5 p.m., and we met with the parents and the children. We shared the information, similar to what we're doing here, shared the information that the officers had that night, and then presented the group with some options of resolution, which included the citations being dismissed if we could come up with some kind of resolution. And for us, the big part of the resolution was we wanted to make sure the community was safe. We wanted other kids to realize that the decisions that they make don't just impact them as a small group. It impacts so much more. This is now a community issue, and it's outside the community, of course, because we're getting emails and calls from media nationwide. So it has a bigger impact than just the game itself. I also feel, like I mentioned before, I feel that the game has reached a level that's somewhat unhealthy. Some of the behaviors that we're hearing about, I feel, could hurt or injure the students. So that was my proposal to the kids, and I said, if you're willing to help us help this community and help other kids be safe, would you be willing to do that? And to a student, they were willing to do that, and the parents were supportive of that. And so with that, we have chosen to dismiss the citations, and we're going to work with the students, and we're going to develop a PSA or some kind of an educational component, a video that we can either use to the younger grades at Wausau West or even the middle school kids. And, you know, it's going to center around decision-making. It's going to center around being safe and also how other people perceive behaviors such as this. So that's basically what, you know, everything, you know, that we discussed over the last week or so. I like the resolution a lot. Like I said, these are good kids, and I hope that we can help other kids from being, you know, from make sure that they're being safe, because I really do believe that I would feel terrible if we had a student that was injured or shot because they were playing this game and they were hiding in a house or hiding in a garage or whatever it may be, and they were injured or shot. So with that, Captain Bliven, anything to add? Todd Baden?
Not too much. I mean, a large component of what we do as law enforcement is community education. We have a safety officer who teaches DARE and the safety city to educate our kids on safe behaviors. We have our school resource officers who do a lot of one-on-one education within the school system. So I think, you know, this resolution seems to make a lot of sense for our community, so that we can help and educate our community as a whole in terms of this game, and also educate our kids and help them understand what impact it could have for themselves and for the community. So I think that education piece is very important to us.
And I also want to say that you know, our officers are really committed to this community. Okay, they try to make a difference every single day, and they make the best decision that they can with the information that they have. And they made a good decision that night. I support that. But because of the unique circumstances, I feel that, like, we could have the same end result, or this, you know, we could modify the behavior by doing some other things. And so and it's tough for the officer to hear the comments and read the emails from community members, because they work really hard in this community to make a difference. And so it's tough for us as leaders to hear that about our officers, because we know that they're committed. We know that this is their community too. And so every day that they work, they put on their badge and their gun, and they try to improve the quality of life here. With that, we'll take whatever questions that you have. Go ahead, Glenn.
How many officers, how many squads, and how much money did it cost the community?
Well, I believe that there was 10 squads. Is that accurate? About 10 squads. There might have been a couple training officers, so there could have been maybe 12 officers on scene. Is that accurate?
That's okay.
So, you know, if you do the math, it's probably, you know, that incident would probably generate over $1,000 response from just the law enforcement.
Pressure from the school to reverse this? The school's been awfully quiet, and they've got a policy where if they have a citation, you have to suspend the activities. But there are several things that are very busy right now with the school activities. Do they have any pressure on the police department to drop the citations?
Yeah, that's a good question. But, you know, we have a really good working relationship with the Wausau School District. We have three SROs, school resource officers. And I can tell you there was never one time where an administrator or anyone from the schools that are called to request us review of this incident, not one time. But we did have numerous conversations as we were talking about resolution to this, and then when we did resolve it, we did contact the school. But not one time did they ask us to dismiss, or did they even ask us to review the situation. They said to us numerous times, whatever you decide, we will support 100%.
Presentation, you mentioned there's been some incidents like car accidents. Was this a moving situation, or were all the vehicles stationary when this incident developed?
Well, Lieutenant Baton, remind me if, or just correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe all of the cars were still in line, parked, and had not been moved. Is that?
By our arrival, that's correct.
Yeah, when our officers arrived on scene, they had not been moved.
You said all of the cars, two cars, three cars, how many cars were
there? There was four vehicles parked together, not side by side, but in a row. And the target vehicle, and I should say that as we discussed the situation Friday night with the officers and then read the reports, then it was clear to us that the two individuals in the white car were actually the target students, and so they really weren't part of the. They weren't playing the game like the other four were playing the game, and so then we dismissed those two citations Friday night, once we were able to verify that they were not part of this scenario, in the sense that guns were drawn, et cetera, or Nerf guns.
And how many students got citations?
There was six. So those two were dismissed on Friday night. Then we continued to review the situation and look at reports, et cetera, and then we came up with a resolution then on Sunday night after speaking with the other four individuals and their parents.
Well,
it's a good question because he felt that he was very, very panicked. But when he listened, he wanted to listen to the 911 call this morning, and he was amazed at how calm he was. Now, he does come across, and we have it up. We'll play that for you if you'd like. But he was surprised at how calm he was because he felt very, very excited and nervous inside. No, like I said before, the officers have a really tough job, and I support them 100%. They're thrust into situations that, that lawyers and everyone else takes hours and days and weeks to criticize or be critical of, and they have to make decisions in a very short time with a limited amount of information, and so I support them. And that's why it was important for Ben and I and Todd to speak with our officers Friday night when they came back to work, because I would not have brought this forward if the officers said, no, Chief, we felt it was really a dynamic situation. We feel there should be serious consequences or whatever it may be. If I got that feedback, I would have said, you know what, we'll just have to let the courts play this out. But the officers did not say that. They were on board. They felt it was a great resolution. And so that's why we continue to work towards a different resolution.
Is sounds like the process is what took a week. We had people ask us, what's taking so long? Now there's a resolution. Why did it take 7 days? It sounds like you lost two just on staff time off. And then sorting out the details. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's exactly what. Like I said before, I would never make a decision without having all the information. Officers were off Wednesday, Thursday, didn't come back till Friday night. The reports weren't done, actually, some of them, till Sunday morning. You know, we spoke with them on Friday night, verified it with the reports, and then met with the parents. And, you know, that's we gave ourselves a day yesterday to make some calls. We wanted to call the RP and meet with them. We wanted to call the school district administrators to let them know that we've come up with a resolution to see how that impacted them. So that's why we chose today to have the press conference, because we had to get some calls in yesterday. So it's not like we waited on this. We've been working on it every day since it happened.
As you prepare the educational element for the schools, that's something that will be released outside of the schools.
We haven't thought about it, Larry.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point that's undetermined, because we don't know what that piece is going to look like. I think there's good potential for that. I mean, our goal is to educate the community as much as it is to educate the kids. So I think there's potential for that, but we haven't got that far in the resolution.
It's probably a good point, because Captain Bliven, you received a call from, one of the many calls was from Cincinnati, Ohio, because they're having similar problems with the game there. Is that accurate?
They're having a Nerf Wars game. I don't know to what extent the problems are.
Okay. Roll me.
This happened with lots of West students, so I'd assume that when this program is put together, it'll be brought out to the officers at East and in the middle schools also.
I think we're, whatever school has an interest in educating, and if it can be helpful, we'll have it available to whoever thinks that it can help their school or their kids be safe. And that's really our focus, is we want kids to be safe. You know, I would feel terrible, we would feel terrible, if one of our kids, one of our leaders, you know, was injured in playing this game because they just didn't think about, you know, the dangers.
Are you aware of any conversations or efforts at the school to talk to the group, say in a mass assembly, and say you need to change rules so you don't get hurt?
Yeah, I've not been privileged to a conversation like that, but I know that they were involved with the letter, Lieutenant Dunbar, that SRO Shrimp sent out. I know that the school was on board. They assisted with providing him some information and signed the letter. So something like that might be, a good opportunity. Glenn.
Can we hear the 911?
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, one half across west, right by the little football field.
Half the football field, the one for
what? Well, there's four cars parked, and they got them blocked in.
Who's got them blocked in?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's going to be okay.
What's going on?
Looked like a kid was drawing a gun on these cars. They got them all blocked. You know, they're parked in real tight.
Okay, is that the Penn High School, or?
Well, no, it's right on the corner of Graham and 17 Stevens Drive.
Graham and Stevens?
Yeah.
Okay.
Four cars. And these kids, I don't know.
Are they blocking a road, or what are they blocking?
No, they're blocked. They blocked. There's four cars, and two of them are blocked in. And this one kid in behind the back car got out, and he's creeping, and looks like he's got a gun.
Creeping on where?
On the two cars.
Okay, so are the cars at the intersection, or where are they exactly at?
Yeah, they're at the intersection. They're parked. The kid's getting out of the car right now.
Do you think he has a gun?
I don't know, but boy, he's pointing something.
0-9, I know you're having a complaint.
There's two of them.
0-9-3. Okay. 0-9-3, I know you're not concerned.
Graham
Street, Stevens Drive. I have a
it's a triple bag situation.
A couple cars at the intersection, two are blocking.
Yeah, you better send me a few
spots. The car possibly brandishing a 1032.
Guns and everything.
I don't know if it's a they got a car in the right.
Yeah, see, that's the way it's kind of black.
There I want to.
Four cars, and there's three guys right now surrounding a white car, and they have guns drawn. No, don't let them see
it. It's a white car?
It's a white car, yeah.
Okay.
They're surrounding.
Yeah, it's responding up to Grand and Steve.
The guys are.
Three guys surrounding a white car. Sounds like three of them are really. It sounds like at least one of them has a 32 pointed at the car.
They're in the woods. The furthest side.
Okay, so only one's got a gun or all three of them?
No, all three of them look like they were drawn.
Now it sounds like all three are already drawn.
The white car and the little car that they got blocked here.
Okay.
Is that a third one?
Do you
remember
the name? Okay, so all the guys with the guns are standing outside the vehicle pointing at a vehicle, right?
Not, they were. Now they're back in the cars.
Now it sounds like everybody's back in their vehicles. Is everybody back in their vehicles now?
Yeah, everybody's back in their vehicles.
Okay, so all three people had guns. Can you give me a description of what they're wearing, what they look like? Or no?
Well, they're all...
Which vehicle did the old guys have the guns in? Which one are they in?
The back two, the back red Oldsmobile, it looks like.
The red Oldsmobile looks like...
The one further south.
The one further south is the one that they... They're getting out again. Nobody's fired or anything like that, have they?
Nope. They're crossing Central Bridge. I think we see cops coming. They're getting out of here.
Now they're figuring out they see someone going.
Lock them in. Better be careful. The cop just blocked the one.
Okay.
He's got him blocked.
Four, I think, in that back car. They
got
the
front one. Well, sir, I need to ask you, do you want to leave your name or no? You can see about where you're at, right?
Yeah, I can see the
office. All right. Okay.
Kids are there. I'm in 09328.
Thank you, God.
I'd just like to say that the reporting persons or the reporting parties did everything that we'd want them to do. And we would encourage any citizen in our community that believes that something like this is occurring or believes there's any suspicious activity to call. I mean, that's we need to get there as quick as possible and let us decide if it's illegal or not. So they did everything right. Well, I think it probably does play a factor because, we spoke to the RP a number of times, and he could not tell the color of the guns because when the officers were on scene, the guns were multicolored. He could not see that. In fact, he showed us a picture today. He took a picture of the incident, and you couldn't see. I'm sure that he had difficulty seeing exactly what was going on because of the darkness. Yeah, it was 9:39.
What time was this again?
9:39 p.m. Tuesday, April 22nd. So it was reported maybe today or yesterday that I initially supported the officers. I want to say that I continue to support the officers, even right now. They did what they felt was right with the information they had. If there's nothing else, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Thanks for all being here.